15. Crabbing.
Good afternoon. A lot of new faces for y'all today.
There was a typo. Is this where the typo was, Lynn, in this?
Yes, I believe it's the second paragraph. Conventionally, three barrels make up a bushel.
Yeah. It's actually three bushels make a barrel. Right? At least we know one commissioner reads the evaluation completely.
Small barrels.
Three barrels make up a bushel, okay.
So I am Renee Hoover, for those of you who haven't met me. My first chance to talk to you all, so thank you for your patience in advance. We have two items today, proposed amendments to the chapter pertaining to crabbing, to define barrel limits, appropriately, I hope, that correspond with the previously established bushel limits for the upcoming 2013 crab pot season, and to consider establishing per-trip vessel limits for the crab harvest. The second regulation that we'll be proposing amendments to is the chapter pertaining to commercial fishing and mandatory harvest reporting, to consider options to limit the use of agents in the crab pot and peeler pot fisheries. So, again, we can either tackle these one at a time or shoot through them and vote at the end. It is up to the commission. Just let me know what you'd prefer. But I'll start with the barrel limits. CMAQ had reviewed this issue. Law enforcement had informed staff that barrels were used in certain areas, such as the James River, in place of the traditional wooden bushel baskets. And so the bushel limits that were established for the 2013 crab pot season needed to be converted into barrels so that we would have appropriate regulations in place. CMAQ did support staff's recommendation to amend the chapter to allow the use of barrels for crab measurement in addition to bushel baskets. And as we all now clearly know, the conversion from bushels to barrels is 3-1. I even have them this way. So, thank you. So here are the appropriate, I assure you, conversions. again, these limits are by license category. So you have a bushel limit that's associated with your maximum number of pots and the corresponding barrel limits for each of the license categories. And we did speak with law enforcement about this. There was no need to volumetrically define what a barrel was. Everyone widely accepts that there are three baskets enough in a barrel.
Excuse me. Say that again, because is the barrel defined somewhere in the regulations?
It is not. So we're accepting that there are three bushel baskets, the wooden baskets, in each barrel. And that's how we made these conversions, and these are going to be in the draft regulation that you all had received with the evaluation. So staff recommends amending Chapter 4 VAC 2270 pertaining to crabbing to define barrel limits that correspond with the previously established bushel limits for the upcoming 2013 season. And as I said, we can vote on this now, or I can keep going.
Let's see. Are there any questions on this issue of Renee? Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Renee, did you say that you're not defining a barrel in terms of the capacity of that barrel? I mean, they're 32-gallon barrels, right?
Correct. We're not defining what that volume is. Law enforcement and CMAQ both agreed that the 3-1 conversion is widely accepted. So CMAQ supported this as well.
We have that written into the regulation known as a 32-gallon barrel. Because I know there's somebody out there who's going to take trash barrels like I have in my house, the whole 10 bushels, and bring them on their boat.
Well, I know in the
Fox.
In the shellfish committee, we have considerable discussion about the size of what a tub is, and what's a tub versus a orange basket.
Right.
And so I think if we don't define it carefully, we're in potential trouble.
Little difference here is that the basket is not defined, so that we would have to define the basket volumetrically as well, and again, it's a little different than oysters in that way. So that would be a double situation to do that. But we have existed for a long time in Virginia with bushels. So we've had the 51 bushel limit or 17 barrels from the start of the season until May 31st since the probably late 70s or early 80s. And that's never been any type of bad situation at all. So that's the reason why we started to put a volumetric measurement on barrel, and we started to use the 32 gallons, but because of the basket situation not being defined, we did not proceed. And we also did consult with law enforcement.
Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My recollection of the CMAQ discussion was that we did discuss the fact that a barrel was a 32-gallon barrel. The discussion focused then on whether or not there needed to be any refinement of the regulation with respect to whether a barrel were crowned or not crowned or full or level full. And ultimately the committee concluded that, people know what a full barrel is, and let's just leave it at that. So we didn't feel we needed to specify anything else. But, I guess one approach would be to let it go like this for 1 year and then maybe further refine it in the next go-round, or call out up front that a barrel is a 32-gallon barrel.
If I may comment, Commissioner? Mm-hmm. Seeing as this is a 2013 regulation that was specified with the bushel limits that you adopted in previous months, I would think that is a really good suggestion. And so the bushel limits are in effect only for 2013. The commission would have to come back to make those bushel limits extend any further anyway.
All right, this is a public hearing. Is there any public comment on this bushel barrel issue? All right, seeing none, what's the pleasure of the commission?
Mr. Chairman, I'll move to accept staff's recommendation.
I'll second.
Second about, is that Mr. Tanker?
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Tanker, comments on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries.
And our next set of discussions will be focused on the use of agents in the crab pot and peeler pot fisheries. So as we just went through, bushel limits by license category were set for the 2013 season. In effect, what this managed to do was eliminate that previously established 51 bushel vessel limit for the spring that Rob just mentioned. And through some discussion with industry, it came to our attention that the lack of a vessel limit might be an incentive to actually use the agenting process to increase a potential vessel limit. For example, if you had two 85-pot license holders, that's the smallest license category, each of which had 27 bushel limits separately, were they to work together, that vessel could bring in 54 bushels. And so this idea of, stacking licenses became a potential issue. Again, CMAQ did meet and discuss this issue and decided to make a recommendation to you that the vessel limit be equal to the highest bushel limit on board, so one single highest bushel limit per vessel. So if an 85-pot license holder were working with a 170-pot license holder, the bushel limit for the highest license holder would apply. And that would eliminate that incentive to kind of use the agenting process to create a higher vessel limit. Unfortunately, there's still excess capacity. So as all of you are familiar, the blue crab fishery has a lot of latent effort. Much of the excess capacity exists with licensees who have minimal participation in the fishery, by definition. For example, in 2012, there were 461 eligible crab pot harvesters who were not active, who could have participated in the fishery, and even more that were very low in their activity. So while CMAQ did address that potential for obtaining an agent for a partially active or inactive license to increase the vessel limit, they did recognize that there's a capacity for increasing harvest by agents in addition, just through the agent process itself. So they considered really how that could disadvantage previously active crabbers and even contribute to overfishing in times of low abundance. So this potential isn't limited to just those licensees with smaller bushel limits, as the example I gave earlier, And the vessel limit alone is not going to control that increase or the potential for increase in capacity. To show this a little more visually, we have in that kind of darker bar the total number of eligible crab pot harvesters in 2011 and 2012. And the green bar shows the number of those individuals who are active. So it's falling anywhere from 62 to 70%. And there's that in 2012, those 461 inactive eligible harvesters. And of those green bars, there is 11.5% in 2011 using agents and then 13.4% in 2012 using agents. So there's really a large capacity for an increase, not only in effort, but also the number of agents. So to get a little more specific information about the agents themselves, we have a table showing the number of approved agents by year. And within that, I just want you to see that the total number of agents is increasing steadily through time, with 153 in 2012 total. Of that, there were 13 who used peeler pots only, and there was a crab scrape and a crab trot line agent also being used. And so that's one half of this issue. This figure shows that not only are we looking at an increase in the number of agents, but also the impact of those agents in terms of harvest. So we have total harvest on the y-axis, and you're looking at the harvest produced by 88 licensees who then in the next year had agents harvesting for them. So the agents are actually harvesting more than the licensees did when they were harvesting on their own. In addition to that, we have the yellow bar showing those agents who were harvesting for individuals who didn't harvest the previous year. So we're not only increasing the number of people agenting, but we're also increasing the efficiency of those individuals or of the license itself. And we look at 2011, that pattern's even more dramatic. So 94 licensees that in 2011 got new agents, and then there were even more agents added to that pool. So we're really affecting the harvest here. And so we broke this down into the trip level, and I have two sets of tables to show you. The top table, labeled A, has the number of harvesters in different trip categories. So, for example, if you look at the pot 255 where that red box is, there were 35 harvesters who took less than 10 trips, and so on. And what I really want to drive home with this slide is that in the second table, which is the trip intervals for agents, you have 65 individuals in just the pot 255 category alone. So out of 371, that's 17.5% of all the trips taken are by agents. So if you remember back to that first figure, that's even more than the proportion of agents themselves. So they're really contributing to the effort. We do want to stress that there is precedent for limiting agent use in other fisheries, including striped bass, finding dogfish, hand harvest of horseshoe crab, oyster, and commercial hook and line. None of these fisheries allow for agent use at all. So there is precedent for limiting the use of agents. So just to summarize everything, CMAQ did recommend limit on the use of agents in the crab fisheries by maintaining the number of agents that were in 2012, which is 153, remember the highest ever, and also to allow an additional buffer of 10% for those individuals who are seeking to use agents this year. And we're not trying to cut anybody out of it who genuinely wants to or needs to use this process. So this means a total of 168 agents would be authorized for 2013, with preference given to those licensees who were agents in 2012. And hardships can be addressed by the commissioner. Again, we still have CMAQ questioning the practice of agent use in general. They plan to further address this practice and provide future recommendations to the commission. And staff has received one public comment to date. So we have two items in this agent section. The first is that staff is recommending the commission establish a vessel harvest and possession limit equal to only one of the largest legal bushel limits on board any vessel. And that's the proposed amendment to Chapter 270. And then staff also recommends amending Chapter 610 to limit the use of agents in the crab fishery to 168 So that's including that buffer, with priority going to licensee to receive approval for 2012.
Questions?
Okay. So since we've gone through all of this in great detail, there are just a couple of clarifications. For those individuals who transferred their license, the regulation has been written such that on page 5 of your draft regulation 610, let me find the spot.
I think it's at the top of page 6, what you're referring to.
Thank you. Actually, still on the bottom of 5, I'm sorry. In subsection C and then subsection B, 153 of the 168 may be utilized by those crab fishery licensees who received approval in 2012 or who currently are licensed by a transferred crab fishery license from a licensee approved for agent use in 2012. So if I had an agent working for me and I transferred my license, the transferee would still be eligible for agent use. We're trying to accommodate that. Additionally, the 10% buffer is going to be on a first-come, first-served basis. So those individuals who have already applied for this year will be given priority.
Any questions? All right. This is a public hearing. Are there any public comments on this issue? Yes, sir.
My name is John Holt, and I hold a commercial waterman's card and an 85 hard pot license, which I just acquired this past winter with the idea of fishing it myself part-time this summer and having an agent to help me with that. And I made all those plans based on the rules and regulations that were enforced at the time that I did it. There's been quite amount of investment that's taking place as far as buying the gear, buying the license, getting the card, so forth and so on. And I would ask that you all either postpone this for a little bit of time or review the people that it affects that get caught in my net. I understand the mission. I applaud the mission of the VMRC, watching the fisheries. You've done it by limiting the number of crab pots, by the number of bushels per day, by the size of the crabs, by the season, by the hours of the day you can fish. And that's all kind of fine-tuning and tweaking the regulations. But to totally eliminate something that comes out of the blue, it takes somebody like me and it fouls me up because I've made investment based on rules and regulations that were in place. And then the other point I wanted to make was the fairness about deny of application before a rule is put into place, as far as having tendered an application and then finding out when I tendered it that you all were going to have this before you as a vote that could possibly affect me. And I had a real nice talk with Joe Griss. I saw him here earlier. And he encouraged me to come in and talk to you all. So I wanted to talk to you about my particular situation and ask you to please give that some consideration. Thank you.
Have you, just a question, have you applied for the use of an agent at this point?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so doesn't the latter part of that new language accommodate this gentleman?
And I can explain. But I'm not sure the 10% buffer. I mean, I don't know how many people are in line.
Let's see what Dr. Hoover has to say.
We've received, in front of you. We've received two applications that would apply with that 10% buffer, and Mr. Holt is one of those two. So he would be fine. We also have six licensees right now that the transfer subsection applies to. So we, to date, only have two people that would apply with that 10% buffer.
What is the 10%
number? 15.
15.
Yes, because there were 150.
You add up all of them, we have?
168, including the buffer. Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, the buffer was how many?
15.
15.
Mm-hmm.
And if you include this gentleman's case and the others, how many will?
There'll be 13.
There's still 13 left. All right. So, sir, does that help you out? That
understand?
Okay.
Could you explain to me though how that comes to be? just to add.
You want me to explain it?
So I understand. I mean.
Sure. So the CMAQ was particularly concerned with cases such as Mr. Holt, and so they included 10% buffer, 10% of 153, which was the highest number of agents we've ever had, to allow for just such cases. I mean, someone who's genuinely interested and needs an agent in this case. What we're trying to put a cap on is people abusing the process, and that's why they allowed a buffer to increase but not just be unchecked entirely.
Okay. All right.
Does that help?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Did a much better job than I could have done. Where are we? Any further questions?
Another comment?
Come on up.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. My name is Mark Bender. I'm a commercial fisherman from the Eastern Shore, crab pot or pain, I don't know, whatever. I came here in November, and I wasn't in total agreement with what went on in November about the 27 bushel thing, but I could have lived with it. And now I've spent a considerable amount of money in the last 2 years to go crabbing. I bought a $35,000 box stern. I just recently bought $7,000 worth of crab gear to go crabbing. I hold an 85-pot license. My 87-year-old father has an 85-pot license. The way I've been crabbing is putting both of those licenses on one vessel. That's my daughter. She's the agent sometimes. Somebody else is sometimes. But if you lock me into this 27 baskets with not letting me be able to put two things on a boat, you're gonna put me out of business. I mean, if I can't go out and compete with the larger boats, that's the way the crab market's set. It's not set on what an 85 pot person catches. It's what a big license catches. The big boats come in with a lot of crabs, crab prices go down. Big boats come in with not so many crabs, prices go up. So I got to be able to compete with them. It costs me a certain amount of money to go crabbing every day. I mean, you got your help, your fuel, your bait. Sometimes your bait bill goes up due to using razor clams or whatever, but it costs a considerable amount of money to do this. You lose one pot one day, and you're out $50. Somebody cuts one of your pots off, you know, you're right. That's gone. That's lost. And if I can only catch 27 baskets of crabs in the beginning, say they're $20. Say I catch $500 worth of crabs. Well, you know, it takes a lot of days catching $500 worth of crabs when you take the expenses out of it to you know, make it worth your while. When crabs get $10 a bushel, which they will be that, I can go out and land $270 worth of crabs a day. And I'm old. I don't like to do anything by myself. I want to be able to take my daughter. I want to be able to go on the same boat with my daughter. And you know, it's going to put me out of business. If I've been fishing these two licenses together ever since I purchased them a dozen years ago. I crab every year. You know, it's just, as far as the agent thing goes, I mean, I could possibly get by that. I could give my dad's license to my daughter. But I want to know who's going to be the crabbers 25 years from now. If the price of these licenses have just skyrocketed out of the world. I looked on the internet the other day, and an 85-pot crab license has gone up to $5,500. Mm-hmm. A 250-pot license that was $8,000 or $9,000 has shot up to $15,000. So, I mean, I talked to Mr. O'Reilly yesterday, and he said, well, maybe you could trade up or you could, you know, buy another license. I don't feel like going out and spending a bunch of money and not knowing that I might not even be able to go next year, and he even said that. So, I mean, you know, I don't know what to do. I mean, I just feel like I'm being pushed off the water. You know, I've been doing this every year. I know why y'all want to do this bushel limit. You're trying to eliminate a lot of pots that are over the limit of the tags. You know, somebody's got 500-pot license, they might have 1,000 pots overboard. And I do the same thing myself. I don't count my pots every day. I look at my bait in the bottom of the boat there, and I say, well, we got a lot of bait left over. We must not have as many pots. So I might carry 5 pots out the next day. Maybe I do have 200 pots overboard with 2 85-pot licenses. I'll admit it. I'm not perfect. But I don't blatantly go out there and put 500 pots overboard, none that I'm not supposed to have, but 170. I know that stuff happens, but I don't see any reason in the world why me and my daughter shouldn't be able to go out there and catch our crabs and come in. I think the bushel limit should be back to the 51 baskets. I don't see what was wrong with that. I don't know what else to say. I've lost a lot of sleep over this. I spent a lot of money, and it's too close to crabbing season to be changing everything up now. I guess that's all I got to say, unless you want to ask me something.
Okay, any questions? Mr. Robbins?
Mr. Bender, so with an 85-pot license, if you go back and look at the data that we use to establish these bushel limits and look across the different tiers of 85 and the going on up the chain there in terms of the different levels, we set this at what must have been the 95th percentile or 97th percentile of reported landings. And if you look at the average landings within like a 300-pot category, that number of pots yielded X amount of bushels.
I understand where you're going.
Okay, and so the 100-pot bushel or the 100-pot license category essentially codified a 27-bushel limit, which by a lot of counts on the committee was roughly double a good day's catch out of that many pots. So CMAQ, with the crabbers on the committee, has expressed strong support for this measure to ensure that the bushel limits aren't totally undermined by stacking or by stacking through agency. And that came out of the industry members on CMAQ.
Well, there never has been a law saying how many times you can fish your pots. I can go through 85 pots in an hour and a half. So what do I do the rest of the day? I go back to my first pot. If it's got 10 crabs, I'll fish them again. And I'll go back around and I'll fish them again. I mean, that's how I compete with the larger boats by, it's like gill net. You can have a whole net reel of gill net. You can run it all overboard. If you don't catch any fish, you got too much net overboard. And if you catch a load of fish, you still got too much net overboard. It's the same thing with crab pots. You can put 200 crab pots overboard, and if you don't catch anything, it don't matter how many pots you fish, you ain't going to catch nothing. But there's times when you get on crabs, busted sooks, where you three pots to a bushel, And we're talking about in the end of May, we could catch as many crabs as we wanted back then. I mean, crabs are cheap. You've got to catch a certain amount of crabs or you're not going to make it. Things are just too expensive. And the way I get by doing it is, when I get on crabs like that or crabs on the seaside in the spring where you can pull up three pots and you got a bushel of sooks, when I get to the other end, I go right back and see what's happening again because I get done every day before my legal time that I've got to quit. So I go right on back. That's why I bought a bigger boat, be able to stay out there every day and stay out there and crab till it's time for me to quit. That's when I come home or when I get tired or run out of bait. That's why Mr. O'Reilly called me a super crabber. Well, I mean, I don't catch my limit that many days in a year. Three, four, five maybe. But there's a lot of days, most days, I catch 35 to 45 baskets with 285 pot license. The reason I can catch them is it doesn't take that long. If you're close to the harbor, your pots are close together, you can zip up and down them, and next thing you know, you've got 2 or 3 hours left over in the day. So I go back and fish pots over. That's every basket of crabs I catch going through them the second time is total profit that goes in my pocket.
That's why
people say, well, how do you plan on catching that many crabs with 85 pots? I fish them over.
Okay, thank you.
No reason. I mean, what about my daughters? Who's going to take this crab and stuff over in the next 20 years? If we make it to the point where we do away with the agents, nobody will be able to get in it to try the fishery. It costs too much money to just jump into it, and, it's not feasible. We got to have young people, such as my daughter, or other people that want to carry this stuff on. And the rate it's going in, it's not happening.
Thank you.
Thanks for your time.
Any other comments? Seeing none, the public hearing is closed. Matter is before the commission. Mr. Palmer.
What I'd like to say is last year when we went to the extended crab season, the basket limits for 2013 were part of the deal for us to be able to have that extended season. And you can't have it both ways. You either had the crabs in 2012 or you have them in 2013, but you can't have them both. And so the agreement that was made was we will live with basket limits this year. CMAQ voted to keep the highest license on the boat as the limit. And I think that was our intent. And, you know, God bless my brother crabbers. They'll find a way around something if they can. But the intent was there, and it's just codified the intent.
Mr. Robbins, and then Mr. Tanks.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to follow on that, the presentation that Renee gave was very informative, and I think we've made a lot of progress in trying to address excess capacity within the fishery. But it's clear from the discussion that we had at CMAQ and her presentation today that there's still a lot of work to be done. I mean, we ultimately need some more durable long-term solutions to these questions, and questions like the one Mr. Bender raises about how can young people come into the fishery. You know, at a time when we still have excess capacity, these are challenging things that have to be worked out. And in the end, we're going to need, I think we're going to need a better solution for those issues. But we need to do that with the industry input. I think there can be more discussions at CMAQ, but there's also that external panel that has ongoing work, and I know the staff has a link to that process. So I think there are a couple of ongoing discussions that'll help advance that issue, but we have to come to terms with the question of agency. Agency started out as being essentially a short-term solution to problems that permit holders might have to allow people to go work their gear, and now it's become a very significant part of the business. As Mr. Holt pointed out, it's an aspect of the business that people are making plans around, and it's contributing significantly to the overall effort in the fishery. So there have been ongoing concerns about that on both sides of the question, about wanting to continue to allow it to take place, and others in the industry wanting to see it further limited. So I think, as part of that ongoing discussion, we have to develop a more comprehensive long-term plan that would address how we're going to deal with agency and how we're going to continue to address the excess capacity in the fishery.
Thank you, Mr. Tanker.
Mr. Bender's testimony I thought was compelling. I tie up beside him, and I do see how hard he works, and I do understand that there are a lot of folks who have an 85 license or 85 pot license and work them twice. That'll happen. Like Mr. Robbins says, we've got excess capacity for a fishery that has issues. I'm not sure if I agree with this. The vessel harvest limit should be equal to the largest bushel limits. I do feel that Mr. Bender's testimony is compelling to maybe think twice about that at least.
Okay. Other comments? Mr. Palmer?
One thing I'd like to say, we've heard testimony twice already today about people transferring to agents back again, When we write this, it should be one transfer a year. I mean, you have people want to transfer to and from an agent, and this guy didn't work out, I'm going to get another agent. How many transfers you can make in a year?
What we have before us today doesn't address that issue, correct?
No.
Mr. Fox, you have a comment?
Well, I just, like Mr. Tankard, I understand Mr. Bender's situation, and I don't have a solution for it. Because I understand why we want to put in the regulation here that staff has recommended. I think he's got a clear problem. And I don't see a solution. But.
Any other comments? Rob?
It is difficult. I did speak to Mr. Bender. Three of the five things he said we did talk about, but I won't tell you which two we didn't. The situation is that last year, to have that December increase to the 15th, the data that we showed the commission was outstanding in terms of it was beyond belief in some cases. And unfortunately, and I did tell this to Mr. Bender, a lot of the 85 pot licensee data suggested either reporting was a real problem for a lot of people in that category, and even as you go up, and it seemed to diminish as you got to the 255 pot category. Once you started to get to the larger rigs, the reporting, if that was it, and I don't think that was it, improved, or a lot of pots are being set that shouldn't be. And that was really the drawing power for the commission and staff and everyone about these bushel limits. What changed was in January, because Mr. Bender noted the change in the status, that he thought everything was just fine. You double up on your bushel limits and you come on in. Well, what changed was, and staff came to you in January and said, we really need to work on this agent situation to really control the effort, just like we're doing with the bushel limit. It is an effort control. As Mr. Robbins said, with the bushel limit, we aren't trying to set an average limit or anything like that. We're trying to set it high enough so that it really just gets rid of enough of the crabs to take care of that December 15th extension. So now you're faced with a situation where staff asked you to help control agents. The commissioner had doubts because he felt that, well, how about those who really were legitimate in 2012? So that has been addressed today. It was commission members who pointed out there really ought to be a vessel limit in January. That was part of the discussion. There should be a vessel limit. And staff was saying, well, we think we can take care of this by agents. Staff wasn't correct. Once staff listened to the CMAQ discussion, which lasted on this issue at least an hour, if not more, and had more withdrawn motions than I've ever seen at CMAQ because everyone was trying to figure out what to do, but finally the first motion came back and was the motion to have the vessel limit. So it does disadvantage a few. Mr. Bender's one of them. Obviously, he took the time to come here today.
Rob, how many were there members of the public present at CMAQ that participated in the discussion in addition to the members?
There were members, and there were discussions, but what stands out in my mind was more on the agent issue, issues about discussion issue was there shouldn't be any agents.
What was the vote, the CMAQ vote on the?
The vote was 8-2. Eight in favor of the vessel limit, two, I believe, abstentions. 802.
And Dan Dyes abstained.
Right. 802. So staff didn't go into that meeting thinking vessel limits were as significant as CMAQ really did, but I think staff came out of there realizing that agent control alone or capping wasn't going to do it. So, I mean, there's a lot here, and the last thing is it is for 2013. So.
Thank you. Okay, the matter's before the commission unless you have additional questions. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As Rob pointed out, there was extensive discussion about this at CMAQ, and the support for this concept came from the directly from the crabbers on CMAQ. So, you know, I think it had a good basis going forward. They essentially validated the concerns that staff had been hearing about this, where as we moved into the new plan to have the individual bushel limits, that if they could be stacked up on board the vessels or stacked through agency, that in fact the overall effort to reduce the catch slightly to account for that extension of the season in 2012 would in fact be undermined. So I think for 2013, it's a reasonable solution. I appreciate Mr. Bender's concerns. I also appreciate the testimony about rigs being worked twice. That's something for future discussion at CMAQ, I think. But I would move to adopt staff recommendations.
Is there a second to the motion?
I'll second.
Seconded by Mr. Palmer. Discussion on the motion. Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
I've got one question, sir, and now we're done with that.
Wait a minute. I think I need a show of hands on that one. All those in favor, raise your right hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. And opposed, like sign. 4-2, motion carries. Thank you. Mr. Palmer.
I do have a question because Mr. Bender does concern me. You know, I don't think we've ever addressed this before, but he's got an 85-pot license. My father has an 85-pot license. What would be the chance of being of turning in both of those 85-pot licenses and giving him a 170 and then just destroying the 85? They don't exist anymore.
Certainly something that we've talked about in the past. It's been a while since we've talked about that kind of thing, but, you know, it can be something that you're a member of FMAC, our CMAC, so.
We'll bring up in the next CMAC meeting then, because, you know, he does have a valid point.
And,
if, you know, if we could kill 185-pot or 285-pot licenses, give him the 170. And that's all he's going to crave is 170 instead of 200 and some.
Rob?
I might have been around, but you always do.
Rob?
Joe Cimino, who's our representative for the industry panel, indicates it's also come up in that forum. They've also talked about it. We have talked about it at CMAC, but it was before 2008. And then once we got into the problems of having to address the disaster relief and other problems along 2008, it hasn't come up again. But it was a past topic of CMAC to do just that.
Could you put that on the next agenda, please?
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, good. Ms. Fox?
It seems to me that Mr. Bender's problem is current. And how quickly could we move something like this forward?
When was the next? Is there a scheduled CMAC meeting at this point?
Not sure. No, there's not a scheduled CMAC meeting yet. It's flexible pending the winter dredge survey. So typically the winter dredge survey results are around April the 10th to April the 12th, somewhere in there. And what we had told CMAC as a staff was that we would have a meeting that was very close to those results, and that since CMAC, which is for the commission to know as well, CMAC had some concerns that often they see something in the press before they hear it, so we told the CMAC committee that we would be in touch with them if we didn't have a meeting close enough to those results. So you can figure out, Mr. Fox, it would probably be about third week in April before we'd have another meeting. And
so you'll be bringing the commission a staff report, CMAC report, at the April meeting.
Right.
On the winter dredge survey results, et
yes.
cetera. And could report back to us any CMAC feelings on this
yes.
license combo.
So that puts us in May, if CMAC endorses this idea and the commission endorses the idea and requests the public hearing, that puts it up for a May public hearing.
Mr. Palmer?
You know, it wouldn't be the first time that we bent a regulation to accommodate somebody. When you think about the crab pot licenses that were given out under Mr. Pruitt at that time that they changed the rules and allowed people to come in here and get licenses. You know, we might be able to do this on a one-time basis only for Mr. Bender. That's purely up to the commission, but it's just an idea. It's one-time basis. Next guy who comes in here, no.
You're talking about for one individual?
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't like to set precedent, but he does have
to
a legitimate
that.
Point. But I would like to know when Mr. Bender.
I think an important question would be: is Mr. Bender still here?
Yes.
If we can do this by May, if Mr. Bender can give some idea, if this goes through and it's accepted by the commission, if it would help to have something like this to be able to have 170 combined license from his father's and his own. Would June 1 be an acceptable date? I think that would be the real question.
I think that's as soon as we could do it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to involve CMAQ in the decision process.
Purely up to the commission.
Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just based on the discussion, I would suggest that we put that on the agenda and go ahead and schedule CMAQ, and be sure to notify Mr. Bender of the date of that CMAQ meeting.
Okay.